This morning I've encompassed my thoughts around things that have been happening to me as we spent a month together in Missions Month. As Colin encapsulated in his prayer, it's been a good month. It's been a challenging month and an encouraging month, but this morning I want to bring to you a few thoughts somewhat out of the foundational book of the Scriptures. It's the book of Genesis. And I want to talk to you about the subject of God calling us. God calls. And so back to Genesis, in the Ur of the Chaldees, near the top of the Persian Gulf on the Euphrates River, sat a city of Ur many, many, many centuries ago. One of the earliest towns we know about in inhabited history. And the town of Ur was very similar to the place where you live, the house where you live, the situation where you live. In fact, it was probably more like Hillary's than even your home. Most of them were two-story houses, and we think the reason they were two-story is because that would have helped with the air conditioning in the place. But as the archaeologists have discovered the city of Ur, now the silt has brought 30 kilometres of dirt and more down, but the city of Ur was just like we live in today. The society was very sophisticated, just like we live in. But the society in those days had deteriorated considerably. And in Genesis chapter 7, God tells us that the society deteriorated to the point where idol worship was rampant and where God had done something that he had done specifically. He called a family, the family of Abram. So as God called the family of Abram, they were to do something rather wild, quite different. Would they be prepared to leave everything they had, except take with them what they could carry and take their flocks and leave and go to a place where only God would tell them to go? They didn't know. And so in the chapter 7 of Genesis is this issue. And relating that to our world today, you know, as you travel a bit, as you read and as you watch TV, you're not escaping the issue that our world is in the greatest debt crisis we've ever known. We've spent and we've spent and we've spent. We talk about people like Greece, and they've got a debt ratio of 167%. But what they've done in their country is they've put a debt ratio of 800% onto the next ensuing generations. And so the current is 166 or 167, but the total is 800%. And so this is happening all around the world. People are completely out of control. We're spending, we're gambling with what we don't have. And so God had a remedy. Abram, he called in Genesis chapter 12, would you leave your country? Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, would you leave your country, your people, your father's household, and would you go to a place where I will show you? Then the rider that God puts on that for him is, and I will, if you will go, I will make you into a great nation, I will bless you, your name will be great, and those that will bless you will be blessed. I want to tell you that I mentioned the book of Genesis, and I take this from the book of Genesis for a very specific purpose. We have a statement these days, as things began, so do they continue. And if you want to go from the scriptures and take it from a biblical perspective, God says exactly the same thing. The book of Genesis is the foundation stone of everything that God was going to say and do. And it introduces to all the issues. So here's God at this very beginning saying, hey, if you will respond, make yourself available, and when I call you, if you will go, I will bless. And what I will do is I will multiply that blessing. I'm not preaching health, wealth, and prosperity. Please know it. But I know that if you will do as God does, you will multiply, and God will honour you. And so he's saying this, he's laying this as a foundation for Abram and his family. And so Abram and his family begin to move away, and they move away quite a distance, about 1,000 kilometres. In Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6, God reveals the foundational stability of this new move. And that verse of Genesis 15 verse 6 says, God created this faith that Abram had, and credit it to Abram as righteousness. God created this faith and credited it to him as righteousness. And this is really the kernel thought that I want to offer to you this morning. And in the verse of Hebrews 11 verse 6, as we know in the scriptures there, Hebrews 11 verse 1-2, without faith, God tells us, it's impossible to please him. So this issue of faith is something that we need to twist our minds around and understand more. And so God tells us that the foundational stability that God will offer is God created this faith and credited to him as righteousness. What's righteousness? Well, a simple way of understanding righteousness is the rightness of Almighty God. Sinless, Almighty God. The righteousness of God is righteousness. And so what God is going to do for people like Abram, and those who follow, even you and me, is he's going to credit us with faith. He's going to credit it as righteousness. Now, if I'm telling you that I'll give you a credit, and if you're with John Kell and me and John Hutchinson as we travelled in the Philippines, we could have probably credited with you with quite a considerable pile of money, a package of money. And so if I come to you at the end of the service tonight and say I'm going to credit you with something, you're interested, particularly if it's money. What God tells us is he's going to credit with something far more valuable than money. He says, I'm going to credit you with faith, but it's going to be credited in the form of the currency of righteousness. I want to suggest today that this is most applicable to us because God is inviting us all through this month. I've found that God has been touching me and making me think. What God is inviting us to do is somewhat separate ourselves from the urgency to purchase this, to spend on that, to add to this, but maybe to divide some of what we would have put here or taken and used there and put it here and send it to somebody who would use it where God could multiply it. And where God, in his way, even if it went to the Philippines, one of our dollars would be multiplied 44 times. 43.35 today, actually, is the currency. For your dollar, you'll get 43.35 pesos in the Philippines today. That's not bad leverage. If I was investing to you and I said, look, I'll give you 43.35% interest and it's guaranteed, you'd be lining up at the door. You would be. And so this is the currency conversion that God is saying. I'm going to credit you with faith, but it's going to be credited in the form of this currency of godliness beyond what you ever imagined possible. Righteousness is the word. And the interesting thing is that as God credits us as he did Abram in that way, what happens is we get an overflow of that. And it's practical faith that brings a practical peace and a practical security that we never knew possible. God calls it the peace that passes all understanding. And so this is extremely practical. It's not just theoretical mumbo. This is extremely practical stuff. So what God is laying as a foundation for Abram and what he proved through Abram, he offers you and he offers me. A few years ago, I received a telephone call from a young couple. I'd been rung by someone whom, if it is, I've forgotten now, and said, would you go and visit Paul and Katie? And I went to visit Paul and Katie, and that night they came to know Jesus. And they became very keen Christians in our church. It was in my days in the Southwest. And they moved away because he was the manager of a tyre outfitting bustle, and he moved away to get a promotion into Katanning. So I lost contact with Paul and Katie. And I lost contact for many years because they then, unbeknown to me, did something. They had felt the call of God upon their life. They'd heard this message in their head. God had promised them this. So they decided they would go and do some Bible college training. They went to the Salvation Army College in Victoria, and they rang me and they said, we just wanted to let you know that God used you that night. I said, amazing. I never knew. I knew that you came to Christ, but although you worship with us, I never knew that God was calling you like this. Yeah, we're the Salvation Army captain and his wife in such and such a town in Victoria. Just wanted to encourage you and let you know. We felt we should ring you and let you know. Amazing. Well, I received a telephone call from Paul and Katie a few years after that, and they said, look, we just want to let you know now that we're in charge. We're the captain in charge of The alcoholic rehabilitation process out there in Kelmscott that the Salvation Army run. God is using us and we're amazed. Just want to let you know. About the same time, a young fellow from Queensland rang me and he said, "You remember me?" I said, "No, I've got no knowledge of you. Sorry, I can't remember you. Sounds ignorant, but I'm sorry." He said, "I just want to let you know that I was in your service and I spoke to you quite lengthily after the service when you were in Queensland in ministry. God spoke to me. I went and did some training at the Bible College and I'm ministering at such and such a church in Queensland these days." So I'm saying to you, God calls. And I know that you're not an orphan. And I know that I'm not an orphan. I remember very well when God called me. There were four of us who stood at the front of the meeting. We came forward in response to the invitation. Right next to me was a young fellow who towered over me. He became quite a prominent surgeon in this city, particularly specialising in removal of cancerous growths. He stood with me and said, "We will go wherever God wants us to go. We're available." On the other side of me was a young fellow that was in the youth group with us, and he's an accountant. The other young fellow, I've lost track of him. I lost track of him sooner. But my doctor friend, my accountant friend, these days, although they did have a faith, have now lost it. My doctor friend endured a divorce and some changes in his life that, from an extremely committed young guy, quite sad. God calls. We all stood to say, step one, we're available. We're available. So as God calls, I think he does it in two steps. Step one, he asks us, are we available? Step one came to Abram. Are you available? Yes. I will tell you at the appropriate time, then will you come with me or will you go? So God calls, number one, asking about availability. And then number two, he asks about, secondly, okay, if you're available still, will you come? So I think they're the two steps. Are you available and will you come? And so I think through this month, God is being asked, are we available? Are we available? And I think the responsibility now is to us to be able to respond to his second call. Well, when I speak to you about giving a dollar, maybe praying for, or maybe helping, or even whenever it comes, and John mentioned the Bible College in Cebu, I hadn't mentioned that yet, John, but you've introduced it well for me. I'll talk about it some stage later. If I start, I probably won't stop. So I won't start. When God calls, he invites us. And this has been a month of calling. This has been a month of calling. At the missions dinner, I read to you an email, for those of you who were there, from a young lady who had taken a loan. We'd just given a loan 1 week earlier to this young couple, 25,000 pesos, about $600. And the lady sent me an email excited. She says, "We've sold $90, $100 worth of clothes already, 4,000 pesos. Excited. I went to the missions dinner last Saturday week back, and the Sunday night I got a second email from this young lady, Maria Fay, and she said, "We've now sold 95% of all of our stock." They're buying school teacher uniforms and selling them. 95. She was absolutely over the moon. And she said, "My husband's got to go to Cebu again tomorrow to buy more stock." For those of you who don't know Maria Fay, probably many of you. Amazing. And so this is her next email. She says, "God is so good. Sir Ross." I've got to acknowledge that. Sir Ross, she says. I've never been called Sir, but only once, so I'll put it in here. "Sir, God is so good. He's working with us in our business. We've already sold 96% of our products. Praise God." God, he said, "I know it's because of, not of our strength, but because of God's favour with us." Well, folks, you've been a part of that. You're in partnership with that young couple. You will never see them probably till you get to heaven. They're a couple of gems. But you are a part of it. You never knew them before. You never knew about them before. So I'm in a responsible position. I've got to tell you about them. An amazing thing happened on Friday. I'd rung John Friebel on Thursday, because I knew that some people put money into the missions dinner and they added. And I know that people added $140 extra. Extra money that I said to you would go to the Taliban loans thing. I know John will give it to me one day from the missions committee to send on. So I rang him and I said, "John, is there any money that I can send? Because I'm going to send some money." God had blessed me. Someone had sent me some money, so there was $350 there. My dentist, to whom I'd been to have some serious work done on one of my teeth, gave me such a great discount. I honestly felt God wanted me to give a half of the discount. So another $150 went to there. That became pretty close to around figures of, $400 or $500. And then as I rang John, I said, John, if there's any more, it's simple to send it in one payment because there's only one transfer fee, not two. I said, sorry, I don't know of any. I'll have to talk to the committee. Then, as I was in the process of all this, Shirley walks into my office and says to me, Brooke gave me this envelope at Bible study on Tuesday morning and she wanted me to give it to you. A lady had come in here to playgroup, a grandmother. Last week, she'd seen the issue about the Taliban loans. That very day, the Tuesday of last week, she'd come to this church, she'd gone to the bank first to transfer her. She'd been to the Philippines and had pesos over, 7,500. The bank would not convert them for her into Australian dollars that day. So she brought them with her, and she had felt when she saw that the second time that God said to her, instead of converting, would you give? 7,000 pesos, 7,500 pesos, about $175. Instantly another $175 came out of my bank and the pesos went into my for future trips. You know, God is absolutely amazing. What Maria Faye said about God is so good is staggering. You know, and I've got to tell you that something inside me leapt. God's at work. God calls. But also with God, with Abram when he went, with his nephew. Lot was a young fellow who had noticed this is an outstanding uncle of mine. Abram was such an outstanding man that Lot could not get his eyes off this older man. And so when Abram went, as a part of the extended family, Lot came along with Abram and he moved into the new country that God was leading them to. And Lot was quite a wealthy young fellow and all of his sheep and animals prospered as well. And there was multiple occasions of animals, both his and Abram's. And so it got to the stage when they're in a particular area where the herdsmen of both these men were beginning to argue because they couldn't separate the flocks and they were so extensive. So this argument occurred. Abram said to Lot, there's the desert area, the highland area, or there's the lush plains. This is the two areas. You can have a choice. I'll allow you to have a choice as to where you take your sheep. And we'll have to part our ways because it's just, our flocks are too extensive from here on. So Lot chose to take the lush pastures. The lush pastures also included an area of the country where two major towns were located, and those two major towns are named Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, Lot was no slouch, mentally or academically, or in management of himself, and he became one of the politicians of the town. In fact, he became the head judge of Sodom. An amazing situation. But Lot, back when that choice was being made that Abram offered him, made the worst decision of his life. Because not long after him becoming chief judge, God sent two angels to him and said, Lot, you have to get out of this city. I'm going to lead you out with my two angels. You have to come tonight. Lot grabbed their two daughters. Their sons-in-law weren't coming. And as they walked away, they left everything. Everything. Even Mrs. Lot turned around halfway and did what God had told her not to do. And she turned to a pillar of salt. What else I'm saying God's call, God calls, what I'm saying is Lot separates. Whilst God calls, Lot separates. In the processes of some areas of psych and some areas of sociology and some other areas, you get a thinking pattern called, it's Caucasian thinking. You have to make a decision between point A and point B. And we are tentatively AB thinkers. I'm an AB thinker. What I'm saying is, on one hand, whilst God is calling, whilst God is calling, invariably, point B comes in and begins to interrupt, and you get a choice. First off, you've said to God, I'm available. At the point when God says, will you come? Will you come? The lot separation decision comes to us. We have to then be absolutely certain where we're travelling with God. Folks, we're going to close our service with singing. As we do, I would like you in your mind, I'd like you in your mind to just reflect upon the area where God has been speaking to you, the areas where God's been speaking to you over this past 4 weeks. And yes, you've been making yourself available. You're here. That's an indicator. But when it's the area of the coming, the next step, would you clarify that in your mind this morning and make a firm decision, a firm resolve?